Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Basher with Gregory Coppoli, Defense and Foreign Affairs. We moved to Europe. The news for Ukraine is dire to very bad. The U.S., the Congress, at this point, has no plans to approve the appropriation asked by the White House for Ukraine to sustain its population and to rearm its forces. As we're told, the Ukrainian army has gone into a defensive position, showing photographs of dragon's teeth. This is something you build if you're concerned with an armor-slashing-armor attack. They've gone into defensive mode, perhaps terminally. At the same time, we have this news from NATO. NATO strikes 1.1 billion euro ammunition deal to support Ukraine. The war in Ukraine is a battle of ammunition, says the head of NATO, Mr. Stoltenberg. He goes on to say, increased production of ammunition is an absolute necessity to enable us to continue to provide support to Ukraine. With the consumption of ammunition we see in Ukraine, with the needs we see, we need to ramp up production. Stoltenberg was speaking after NATO signed the contract for hundreds of thousands of rounds of 155-millimeter artillery ammunition, which will be distributed among members of the alliance, either to send to Ukraine or to replenish inventories depleted by the war. There it is, Gregory. The Congress says no, and NATO is approving money to restore its arsenal, not in any fashion fix that it's going to Ukraine. I was told last week by a very good source that some artillery units in Ukraine last week were down to 2 rounds per gun per day. I was also told that air defense is slipping from intercepting, say, 75 to 80% of the incoming Russian barrage to much smaller than that, perhaps 10 or 20%, and some cities uncovered because there's not enough. What we're looking at here is Ukraine not being in a defensive mode. It's in a mode where it's breaking down its ability to defend its people, and the U.S. is not riding to the rescue. Your measure now has always been, as it's consistent, that Ukraine is overwhelmed by the Russian ambitions and that this is not a fight that can go on indefinitely. Ukraine has a way forward if it begins to negotiate. Is that what are we at the edge of negotiation, or is Ukraine going to disintegrate even the more? Thank you.
Well, we're either at the edge of negotiation or at some internal action within Ukraine to remove President Zelensky, who really is prepared to fight to the last U.S. dollar and not realizing that he has, in fact, already spent the last U.S. dollar. President Biden has got other fish to fry at the moment in the run-up for the November 2024 elections in the U.S. And frankly, he's run out of any use for the Ukraine war as a distracting factor. He's also, I think, even lost interest in major support for Israel, although the Congress will not allow him to walk away from that. But the reality is that the only help that's coming now for Ukraine, or for Zelensky's part of Ukraine, is from Poland. He was very fortunate that Donald Tusk reassumed control over the Polish government recently, and Tusk has promised to repair the notoriously bad Ukraine-Polish relationship and send economic and other aid to Ukraine. This will help a little bit. The Ukrainian government has really become desperate and has become demanding, for example, of the Australian government that Australia provide $30 million worth of high-grade coal for internal economic purposes and heating, of course, during the remainder of the winter. And also to provide all of its surplus Taipan Army helicopters, which were grounded in Australia last year, and which the Australian government is preparing to destroy. And the Ukrainians are demanding that these be turned over to Ukraine. And strangely enough, the Australian government, which has been really supportive of Zelensky, has been reluctant to allow this. And there's a big pushback in the Australian media and public against providing more free aid to Ukraine, especially when Ukraine has been more or less insisting that Australia do as it's told. So Ukraine under Zelensky is now desperate. We saw the attack last Sunday on Donetsk hitting specifically civilian targets and big civilian losses in the marketplace in Donetsk. Ukraine is lashing out. It's literally trying to do anything it can to give a display of success. The Russians are reacting to that. The Russians have actually refrained from mass attacks on civilian targets, contrary to media reporting. But basically, Russia has a lot more up its sleeve if it wished to inflict punishment. But they're now waiting for this ceasefire and negotiations to begin. And I think that's going to be soon.
NATO is planning a huge exercise, 90,000 troops it announces, between now and May, involving the Baltic states, Finland, I believe Poland was mentioned, Germany as well. This to anticipate war with Russia, we're told, in 5 to 7 years. These are headlines out of London, out of Brussels. Now, from the beginning, Moscow presented this conflict not as a war with Ukraine, but as a war with NATO encroaching upon Russian territory. Your measure of Russia now with this NATO exercise, is this provocative? Does this mean that Vladimir Putin, after the negotiations begin in Ukraine, will turn his attention to NATO? How do you see these what you'd have to say, both sides bolstering their military capabilities?
I think that Russia just wants this over and would love to be able to restore some meaningful relationships with the West again. That's not likely to happen. The NATO blood is up and they want to demonstrate that they have meaning. And this exercise actually will be very good for NATO in starting to get it back to an alliance of military cooperation, because it hasn't really been that since 1989, 1990, when the Soviet Union collapsed. So basically, you've got NATO searching for a purpose, and they'll continue to do that as long as somebody's giving them money. You've got Poland promising to help Ukraine get into the European Union, and that actually will not happen either. So essentially, what we're going to see is a fairly appalling sort of economic zone cutting across. It's not an iron curtain cutting across Europe. It's a curtain of decay cutting across Europe for the next 5 to 10 years. I don't think there would be any necessity for NATO encroachment on Russia or Russian encroachment on NATO over the next 10 years. So forecasting a possible war with Russia in the next decade is just a figment of somebody's scenario painting, but really we're seeing a massive disintegration of economic and other valuable sovereignty issues throughout the Eurasian landmass over the coming decade.
Once the firing stops in Ukraine, there is a sizable proportion, I don't know that it's majority, but it exists and it's prosperous, in Germany to return to some part of Ostpolitik, to buy energy again from Russia. Is that imaginable, Gregory?
Oh, it's absolutely imaginable and critical for the survival of much of Western Europe. They need not Ostpolitik in the old form, but a relationship which enables trade to prosper between former Soviet territories and Eastern Europe and Western Europe, so that they can all basically restore themselves. But there are new options emerging. There's energy coming from the Eastern Mediterranean, as long as Turkey doesn't mess that up. But you've got a lot of options emerging. There'll be a new geopolitical framework of trade with the Indo-Pacific from Europe across new avenues, including I think the West will avail itself of the Russian-controlled international north-south transport corridor, which begins in St. Petersburg on the Baltic and essentially the Atlantic, going down through to the Indian Ocean and linking with India in particular. So there are all of these new strategic architectures which are going to be available in the coming decade, and certainly there'll be a lot of trade going on which will involve Russia and Eastern Europe and Western Europe, and this will happen independently of the U.S. essentially and of China.
King Charles Report next. We're going to Australia Day within hours. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. He's in Perth, Western Australia. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.